Here in Hosea chapter 10, we have some profound insights really into the love of God for his people. And we also see the problem of material blessing. And that's what I want to talk about. Well, verse 1, according to the abundance of his fruit, he multiplied his altars. They worshipped Baal, basically. And Baal was a fertility cult. And yet God loved them. And God blessed them with good harvests. And yet the more they had good harvests, the more they worshipped Baal, because they were confusing God and Baal. They were effectively worshipping Baal, but saying that, well, yeah, this is a form of Yahweh worship, and look at all the fertility that we've got. And of course, God didn't want to withdraw the blessing of good harvests. He didn't want to see them hungry. He didn't want to see them suffering in a parched land. He didn't want to do that. And yet, as it were, what other option was there? Now, the problem was that the attraction of worshipping Baal was that it promised fertility. And in those days, fertility, good harvests, equaled wealth. That was how they judged wealth in those days. And so Baal and the whole sort of nexus of Baals, there were different kinds of Baals, but the bottom line is that it was a fertility cult. And this is why there was this sleeping with the representatives of Baal at the idol shrines, etc. The attraction was not simply sex at the idol shrines and that sort of thing. It was not simply that these little stone gods or altars just looked so incredibly attractive. There's something more than that. It was this hope that I shall get wealthy through this. It was the prosperity gospel, as it were. It was the idea that I can get rich and have blessing through worshipping these Baals. And yet God loved them, and he didn't want to say, oh, well, if that's what you do, then I shall take away the blessing of harvest, because, of course, all harvests came from God, ultimately. He didn't want to do that, because he loved them. And I said earlier that whatever you see in Hosea about God's relationship with Israel was reflected in Hosea's experience with Gomer, the prostitute whom he married. Now, you could make a case that Hosea was fairly wealthy, and he had given her everything. He really loved her. He gave her, he said, gold and silver, as well as clothing, food, linen clothes. And yet she goes off to these men, these worthless men, and sleeps with them as a prostitute sleeps with men in order to get money and food and clothing and stuff from them. And yet Hosea had given it all to her, but she didn't want that. She wanted to go and sleep with all these low-life guys in the hope that she was going to get wealthy through doing that. And you see in that a reflection of how Israel were treating God, that, yeah, he'd given them all things. He was giving them all things. And as Hosea says earlier, she did not know or recognize that I gave her her clothing and her food and etc. And it was the same with Israel. They did not want to accept that actually the good harvests were from God, from Yahweh. They like to think, oh yeah, this is because we are worshipping Baal. And so, as their land has prospered, they have adorned their sacred stones. And the adorned and prospered are the same word. As their land prospered, they prospered their sacred stones. Or the AV, according to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. So you think, well, why didn't God just, well, cut all the blessing? Why didn't he just send them famine? Wouldn't that have been the easier thing to do? To say, no, look, the Baals aren't giving you any fertility, are they? And I'm not either, until you ditch the Baals and return to me. That would sound the simple answer. And of course, there were times when God did do that. The simple reason he didn't, you could argue, was love. He loved them. Why didn't Hosea judge her for being a prostitute, judge her for adultery, burn her with fire, etc.? Well, he says that he thinks of doing that. In fact, he says that he is going to do that in very crude terms, but then he doesn't, because he loves her. So God ultimately is going to do this, to his people, and he has done that, and yet even then they didn't respond. So it was partly because he loved them that he didn't, as I say, just bring famine all the time. You know, you must serve me and I'll give you good harvests. If you don't, well, I shall take them away, and that will teach you that Baal won't give you any fertility. It's just a myth. Well, he did do that at times, but generally he didn't. And I think one reason why he didn't is not simply that he loved them, but is because God respects people and God wants relationship, as Hosea did with Gomer. Know me. Not know about me, but have relationship with me, is what God is saying all through Hosea. It would be kind of manipulative to if God had said to Israel, look, if you do all your sacrifices and love me and worship me, okay, good harvest. If you don't, famine, and Baal will not help you. That would be manipulative. That would be treating man as a puppet on a string. And God does not want puppets. He wants us to genuinely relate with him. And so that's why he didn't do that. But because he doesn't do that, therefore, as Moses foreshadowed, Jeshurun, that's a term for Israel, became fat and kicked. It's like a calf that was fattened and started kicking at the person that was feeding it. You think of the parable of the prodigal son. Well, the father is clearly representative of God, and the prodigal son says, well, it's better for me that you were as if you were dead. Give me now my part of the inheritance even before you're dead. Give it to me now. And of course the father could have said, well, I'm not dead yet. Don't be so rude. Don't you love me? But he doesn't. He gives it to him. Which, again, is a total inversion of the prosperity gospel, the idea that if you're good and righteous, then you get blessing from God. Well, that doesn't quite work out. That's too simplistic and primitive a way to look at it. And, of course, if God had just said, well, you know, if you're righteous, I'll give you blessing. If you're not, then I won't. Well, it would have made the people serve him for the wrong reasons. As I say, it would have turned man into a puppet on a string. Of course, they say in verse 3, surely they will say, we have no king. We do not fear Yahweh, the king we have. What can he do for us? In other words, what can he do? What can this religion give us materially? So this is no good. That is the problem when material blessing is seen as the ultimate sign that God has blessed you and God loves you and that you're right with him. It isn't like that. It simply is not like that. And so what God thirsts for then is relationship. And yet because he loves us on a simple sort of level in that sense, well, of course you don't want the beloved to suffer, especially when it is in your hand and in the power of your hand, that they don't. So God is very, very, well, conflicted, I suppose you could say, with this whole thing about giving material blessing. He doesn't want us to suffer. It is the situation that every parent has been in. You want to give your children absolutely everything, but you realize that that is not wise. That is not the right way. And we've all seen the spoiled child syndrome, that mum and dad are good while they're coming up with the goods, and when they can't or they won't, then they're bad, rotten, awful, etc. And that is how things would be between God and ourselves, and that is how it would have been between God and Israel. And so, although there is to some degree a connection between good harvests, that is wealth as they understood it, and obedience, that was part of the Old Covenant, that is nuanced because it doesn't quite work out like that in the relationship between God and Israel in practice. And you can see why not, as I say, because God is not going to manipulate. God is not a manipulator. He is not going to say, yeah, well, look, so now you see that I will give you the blessing if you're sort of good, and if you're naughty, then you won't get it. It is not that simple because, as I say, he seeks that we should search for him and find him as he has found us, and that we, above all, have relationship with him. And realize that the ultimate blessing is that he will do us good in our latter end forever and ever in his kingdom.